In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Brothers and sisters, we come today to this Forgiveness Sunday, as it's called. The cheese, also called Cheese Fair. That's kind of a dumb name, to be honest. That's only showing what we're eating, which is only the shell of the fast. Really, this is called Forgiveness Sunday. Remember two things. That without forgiveness, there's no joy and there's no Christian life. And we remember today the icon in the middle of the church, the expulsion of Adam and Eve from paradise. So the time is upon us, brothers and sisters. The time for what? Well, this great fast, the great and holy Lent, which every Orthodox Christian who loves God looks forward to, not dreads. It's not about rules. It's not about, oh, we can't eat this, we can eat that. This, God's not a legalist. So what is it time for exactly? What are we going to do in these next 40 days? God's not impressed if you don't eat meat. You heard the epistle today, right? Let not him who eats or doesn't eat judge him who eats and vice versa. The Lord says to anoint your head with oil when you fast. We don't have Ash Wednesday in the Orthodox Christian tradition, and it wasn't in the ancient West either. I'm not saying it's wrong or something. It's almost noble when people put a cross anywhere on themselves nowadays. But it's actually contrary to the gospel. The Lord says, when you fast, anoint your head with oil. Meaning, don't look like, I'm so pious, I'm fasting. No. Look normal. Fast in secret. That doesn't mean we're ashamed and say, I don't want to fast in front of people, I'll have that steak. No, it's not the idea. Right? The idea is, don't act like you're a spiritual person, act so tired from fasting. You act normal. And you're inwardly transformed. Inwardly transformed by multiple things. By physical fasting, taming our body and our flesh, yes. But that's only a means to going into your heart. If we just keep a physical fast, we don't eat this, we eat that, we go to church more. These are great things. But they, if they don't enter your heart and change you, they're worthless. It's not even worth doing it. So what is it time for the next 40 days? It's time for a return to paradise. We remember today in the hymnography and the Orthros, the Vespers last night, this morning, that we're lamenting when Adam was cast out of prison. I mean, excuse me, cast out of paradise, he and Eve, for one sin. The first commandment was what? You can eat all this stuff, just don't eat this. Fasting was the first command. And how do we return to the garden? By fasting as well. By self-control. But it's not just a physical exercise. Really, why do we remember this today? We don't remember how glorious it was for Adam and Eve. We don't realize how glorious it was. Constant communion with God. No wondering, why is God so far away? Do I believe or not believe? That whole struggle of faith we have until we really start praying and then we know Him. That never happened to them. He walked with them. He was close in their own hearts. Perfect harmony between each other. Perfect harmony between the animals. No hunger. No thirst. No tiredness. No decay. Constant presence of God. And in the fall, mankind lost that. And what we can retain is, it's not a sixth sense, it's a very primal first sense that God is in everything, and He's everything, and He fills everything with Himself. That's lost for most people after the fall. And we're cast out. And a flaming sword guards paradise to keep Adam and Eve from there. And they struggle, like we struggle, right? Sin is easier than virtue. We're very judgmental. We feel far from God. That was the lot of mankind until the greatest event in history. God became a man. So we could ascend to Him. God, the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, became flesh, like us. Why? To give us rules? No. Make us feel guilty? No. Not even to make us good boys and good girls? No. To bring us back to paradise. And not just to paradise, to the high place of paradise where Adam and Eve would have eventually been had they been patient and can eat of every tree. So the goal, brothers and sisters, isn't just to check some box off and be a good person and for 40 days and then go back to gluttony after 40-something days. Not at all. Our goal is the Christian goal, which is you and I were made to have that same communion of Adam and Eve. You and I were made to have no doubts at all. You know, before I was a believer, I was wondering, where is God? Why is He so far from me? until I started praying and living the Christian life. And it's a great miracle when you feel God in your soul. I don't mean a frou-frou emotional feeling. I mean, you experience the living grace of God, you are never the same being ever again. And you realize what it means to be a Christian. And you realize why these saints would give their lives. And you realize why monks and nuns would go do that. Because the spiritual life is worth everything. And you would give everything you have, brothers and sisters, if you knew how precious it is and how easy it actually is to enter back into paradise. Do you know you can have that paradisical joy even in this life? You can taste it. And when we die, it'll be a fulfillment of all that joy. That's why Christians had joy. That's why these martyrs could smile, even being tortured, because they had their Lord always with them. And we can hardly handle a hangnail, or the flu, or cancer, much less than being scraped and martyred. Why? Because we've forgotten our true calling. We've forgotten about paradise. We've turned the church and Christianity into some perfunctory thing. The Lord, how do we do this? We engage in battle. All of us who are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You were baptized when you were a kid or adult, and you received the Holy Spirit. Those are the means by which you can return to Adam and Eve, and you can be like the saints. And you can be in paradise again. Even if you're suffering in a prison camp like the martyrs, they had joy. I was reading about these Romanian martyrs, you know, in the Petesh prison camp. Horrible tortures. Horrible. They're sitting in water that's inches deep and they're all rotting and they're dead. It's dead of darkness. And they're back to back. And all they're doing is chanting the hymns of the church, preparing for paradise. How's that possible? Oh, what's impossible with men is possible with God. It's the Christian life. It's the experience of God. And that's what the church is welcoming all of us into for the next 40 days. We can be utterly transfigured in 40 days. Do you know that? It's more than just one, hey God, I'm sorry, or an altar call, or one day. It takes time, because we spend a lifetime wasting our life, most of us, even if you're in the church. We spend a lifetime judging people, holding grudges, being lazy, being a slave to our passions. And the Lord gives us this precious time to wake up and to realize your true calling isn't just to kind of go to church and light a candle. No. Your true calling is to be in paradise, even in this life. And there's no greater joy ever. You can have that. How? Fast. Subdue your flesh. You can do it. Keep the fast of the church. Second, come to church more. Be in the hospital more. How does it work? Just be here, and the grace of God works on you. We have service every night of Clean Week this next week. Be here. Turn the TV off. My obedience to you all is no Facebook or social media for all of Lent. That's my blessing for you. So you can find time to be with your family. Find time to be in church. Find time to prepare your confession. Find time to read the gospel. How few of us read the gospels, the words of life. You can find time to be quiet with Him and experience Him in that way that I'm talking about. Who doesn't want that? But no one wants to put the work in to have their will. It will change you. So be here. But none of that prayer and fasting and confessing, we should all go to confession, be close to our spiritual father. This 40 days can so transform your life, you will never be the same. You won't go back to your sinful ways on Easter, on Pascha. Your whole life will be different. Your family's life, your kids' life. It really can transfigure you if you take it seriously. But that's why we're on the cusp now, right? We've had lots of lessons, haven't we, so far? We've had what? Right, the publican, the Pharisee, the prodigal son, the last judgment, all getting us ready. And today is the last signpost before we cross into the fast tomorrow morning. And what is it? Forgiveness Sunday. The Lord shows us it's so easy to be saved. It's so easy to do this spiritual work, but you have to begin with one thing. If you forgive others their trespasses, God will forgive you. He'll forgive you. All you have to do is forgive others. And if you don't forgive others, God will not forgive you. What an easy path to salvation. And yet many of us think, I'm a forgiving person. We forgive some things, right? But we often say, no, I'm not going to forgive that. And we justify it. And we think we're going to punish a person by not forgiving them. It doesn't punish them at all, in fact. Only person that hurts is us. And we justify it. And we go through the motions spiritually and wonder why we're not making progress. Why is my I'm prostrating, Father Justin. I'm going to confession, Father Justin. I'm doing the things. It's not working. Because, as the saints say, your prayers won't rise above your head if you haven't forgiven everybody. Everybody, everything. It's the key to the spiritual life. Even if we're slothful and if we're lazy. See, here's the problem. If you're slothful and lazy in the fast, you won't destroy the passions and have that connection with God. It's true. If when you fast and you control your addictions of your body and you quiet down your soul and you pray where you normally don't and you say the Jesus prayer and you really sit in the quiet and you read the gospel, I promise you, you will know Christ in the deepest way ever. But most of us don't do it, do we? We make excuses. We're a little afraid. What would that mean? It's a fearful thing to be in the hands of the living God. It's a beautiful fear. It changes your whole life. So do it. But know that none of that labor is going to work. It'll be useless if we don't begin today forgiving each other. And we all have people that we don't forgive. Believe me, all of us, we think we're merciful. We think we forgive. And we all have people that we hate. And people that have hurt us. We might tell ourselves, yeah, I forgave them. No, you didn't. You forgot about them. You set them to the side. And they're still there, rotting in you. It's so important. Let me tell you a story, a beautiful story from the lives of the Kiev Caves Monastery. There was two monks. It was the higher monk, Titus, he's a priest and a monk, the monastery, and a higher deacon, a monk and a deacon, Father Evagrios. And they lived in peace for many years together until they had a conflict. Monasteries have conflicts just like families and parishes and businesses. And the conflict became so deep that they hated each other. And they wouldn't forgive each other, which is miserable in a monastery, like in a family. And they dared to even keep serving at the holy altar as clergy with this deadly sin for years. And then the higher monk, the priest monk, Father Titus, became very, very, very deathly ill. And he was laying on his deathbed, getting ready to die. And all of a sudden, he called out and realized, I need to ask forgiveness of this Father Evagrius. So he screamed out on his deathbed, please bring him. So the monks, they go to Father Evagrius and say, please come. He wants to ask forgiveness. He says, no, I won't forgive him. I won't even go. I curse him. And the monks are so mad. They say, no, unacceptable. They drag him by force to the room of this Father Titus who's dying. And as soon as Father Titus sees him, he falls out of his bed onto his face. And he begs his forgiveness. Forgive me for everything. I'm so proud. Forgive me. And Father Evagrius said, I will not forgive you in this life or in the next. And at that moment, like a beast, he tore away from the arms of the monks and he fell dead on the ground. But at the same time, an amazing thing happened. Father Titus, who was on the floor and dying, was raised up immediately. Perfectly healthy. And the monks were in shock. And they asked him, what happened, Father? What happened? And he said, well, when I was dying and sick, I could see spiritually my guardian angel was leaving me. And the angels were leaving me because I had no forgiveness. I was unwilling to forgive. And I get so scared. I realized I had to do that. I couldn't die with this. And I called him. And when Father came in, and he fell on his face, he said, as soon as he said, I won't forgive him in this life or the next, an angel of God appeared. And as soon as he broke away from them, he slew the monk. And he fell dead for that reason. And then that same angel turned with the other hand, and he touched the head of Father Titus. And at once, he was totally healthy. And he was standing straight. And the monks wept over this lesson, this painful lesson, that forgiveness even healed his body. And lack of forgiveness killed his soul and his body. It's a very serious, real story. And to this day, in that monastery especially, all the monks bow and ask forgiveness every day. The sun never goes down on their anger. Brothers and sisters, all of us, you might think, that's terrible, I'd never be like that. Search your soul. We all judge people so much. We all actually do have hatred for people and we don't forgive. Forgiveness doesn't mean saying everything they did was right. No. Someone that was abused by their parents or some horrible person, it never means it's right. But you can still forgive it. And if you do that, this beautiful act, you'll be saved. It's an easy path to salvation. And if we do it today with each other, we're going to stay after liturgy today and we're going to do Vespers. Don't leave. Stay. Ask forgiveness of each other. It's embarrassing, Father. No, it's embarrassing not being close to God and having hatred in our hearts. And you know what's beautiful and sets you free? Even if you're not a great ascetic, even if you're not a great pastor, even if you can just find it in your heart to dig deep and forgive everyone everything, you'll be saved. How easy is our salvation? What an easy thing the Lord gives us if we can just be humble enough to begin. So may our Lord grant us to truly from our hearts forgive each other and everyone all things on this day. And with this grace, the incredible grace of forgiveness, then all of our prayers and our prostrations and our being in church in these 40 days can utterly transform us to return to paradise. May God help us. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.